B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go. Do you ever listen to Pennywise?
No, no.
There are moments in time, ladies and gentlemen, where I love the first two Pennywise albums.
I should. They're one of those bands that I've tried to get into and never have. Doesn't mean they're bad, just they never stuck.
No, it doesn't mean they're bad. You don't mean everything.
You're the one that doesn't mean anything. Yours is the one with the shell on it. That's a Tommy Boy reference.
Oh, I thought that I am circumcised. If that's what you're referring to. And I
that kind of
and,
shell.
I curse my parents every day. The sensation's not the same. All right. So anyway, so the B-Ball Boys we have over here, RS and J-Dubs. They decided to put on the satin jackets and head on over to the Celtics Media Day, which is a miserable experience. So better you than I. And, you know, there was a lot of fear. I mean, obviously the Celtics were concerned about maybe what the line of questioning would be for some people. But there is a guy on the team, Rich.
Yeah.
That is special.
Yes, there is a gentleman by the name of Grant Williams, who was the first person to sit down with us yesterday. And Grant Williams, someone who... was not only had a couple of good games there throughout the playoffs, but was known to give nicknames of all of the Marvel superheroes to some of his teammates, in which he went through. Didn't he call himself Batman?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So
who the hell cares? To end it with the Marvel, he gave everyone Marvel nicknames.
Yes, he gave everyone Marvel nicknames.
And then Nick forever wrote a very nice letter asking him to play catch.
Yes, he's been very open about his love of all things comics and gaming. And so yesterday, Grant Williams came into the room. And listen, everyone talked about all the EMA stuff. And you know, that's all been out there. But it was time to talk to Grant Williams, a guy I've been wanting to talk to for a while.
Yeah. I was just going to say, before we play this interview, Fred, we're sitting there and he just pops through the door with the biggest smile on his face. He's like, 98.5 the Sports Hub. All right.
Yes, he's a very jovial gentleman. He comes and sits down and here's how it goes.
But it's Toucher and Rich, and we are here with a gentleman that I've been wanting to talk to for a while. Just voted to the top 100 players.
Yes.
In the NBA?
That's an honor. It's thankful, but now it's about keeping it up because once you get ranked, you can easily be unranked. So that's true moving forward.
Well, I will say that as much as I love talking basketball with members of the Celtics, there's something I want to talk about more with you, and that is your love of something that I've heard you profess for a while.
Oh, we got a Catan board. Are we playing right now?
You want to play some Catan?
I
have no idea how to play, so you're going to have to teach us.
I'll take advantage of you at every trade possible.
Okay.
I'll definitely teach you.
Okay, all right.
Fair enough.
We're already getting nerdy. Too early in the thing. All right. So, Grant, what is this thing right here? It's the, what is it called?
Some people call it Catan. I call it Catan. It's a board game that we played all the time in college that we used to play pregame. Because I always say it got my memento ready and I took the nerves away from the game. But it's something that I love playing because you can play it with four people, three people even. And there's expansion packs where you play a 5-6. Like, you can keep going up. But
okay.
It's a game that it's similar to the concept of, like, trading in principle of Monopoly, but your goal is to get to 10 victory points.
Okay.
You build settlements or cities, which allow you to gain the resources. So
okay.
like the sheep or brick.
You've lost me already, but it sounds fun.
What's going on here?
So now, there are guys in the Celtics who play this with you?
A couple guys actually do play. So I've played with Sam Hauser. I've played with Luke Cornette.
So none of the cool guys.
I'm about to say, JB would play it. JB's not a big board
JB
game
JB as in Jaylen Brown will play this
Yeah, Jaylen Brown will play this.
No
I was about
way.
To say, a couple
I'm going to ask him.
When he comes by.
He may at the time say it's nerdy, but I can see him loving the game.
Oh, you can see him or you've played with him.
So I haven't played with him yet, but okay. I haven't asked him to.
Oh, all right. Well, you just made us think that he was part of the crew.
Oh, no. I said he could play this game.
Can I ask him for you? I'll make the first when he comes in here.
You can ask him for sure. So, like, the principles are right here.
Okay.
So if you see this board, You see how you can build a road with a brick and a wood.
Okay, all right. You looks like a mighty warrior right here.
Yeah, this is it's the largest army. So there's cards that we use.
Okay.
Here. All right.
What do you listen to when you play this game? Do you like listen to Rush or, you know, some like the soundtrack to Dragonheart or something like that?
Hey, listen, you can listen to whatever you want. I listen to any type of music, because whether that's jazz, classical, country, rap, R&B, rock, pop.
What's in the cards here? What do we got here?
So, these are the resource cards.
Break open the packs?
I was about to say. So,
victory points.
Yeah, so the principle of victory points. Remember how I said you want to get to 10 victory points?
Okay.
Those are called development cards.
How do I win one of these? How do I get at least one victory point?
So, the resources that you would build from the board. Okay. So you put these numbers on the board. It's going to take a long time to set up with all this stuff out.
Okay.
You have to do the print pieces.
Ooh, different dice? Are there different like?
Yeah, so
dice?
It's a dual
There are no streamlined. There's no streamlined version of this game?
Okay. All right, no streamlined. This is going to take a process to set
up. I want to be a knight. Can I be a knight?
So you get the knight. So
okay.
The sheep, wheat, and ore of these cards, right?
That's a development card.
Okay,
gives you a development card.
Okay.
So a sheep, you trade it in. Wheat.
I mean, how many seconds till Jaylen Brown checks out on
this? it takes him a minute. I don't know why there's no
When you try and describe this to your teammates and get them to play with you, what's that like?
I say it's a board game that takes a little bit to to get started. But once you get started, it's a great game.
I can see you talking into. All right.
Yeah,
So now is this a lifetime of gaming that led you to Catan, or are you? Did you like do Magic the Gathering like back in the day and stuff like that? Or
honestly, so I got introduced to this in college.
Okay.
At first, most of the games I played were Monopoly, Scattergories, Scrabble, stuff like that. I was big into board games growing up.
Okay.
But and card games especially. Card games I'm very big.
Like which ones? Like
I play Pitch, Spades, Rum, Gin, Tonk, Euchre.
Like
I play
Yu-Gi-Oh? Okay. Did you ever do that? Like
I did Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon.
Oh really?
Yeah,
what's the most valuable card you got?
Right now I have a Mewtwo. First edition.
Mewtwo's a legendary.
Yes.
I know that. I have two 13-year-olds.
Mewtwo.
Very
important. I just bought 3 boxes of Shining Face, Hidden Face, but also want to probably do a Fossil first edition as well as a couple others. So I'm in the process of collecting right now because I lost my entire collection back in the day because my brother and I had this huge binder full of Pokemon cards.
Okay.
I think it got tossed out.
How much was that worth? Like $10 or? No, I know
way
how much
more,
is that.
Way more than just 10. But then next thing you know, we had a collection of Yu-Gi-Oh cards, but they were all worn because we play with them all the time.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like,
you can't sell those.
Takes the value.
It's more so nostalgia. So we had that, and it's in my dad's house. It's in a little safe, like not even a safe. Okay. What would you call it? Like a lockbox?
Yeah,
like
sure.
Wooden lockbox.
Yeah,
just cards stacked together like this. Lined up.
Just probably one Snorlax after the next, right after.
Oh, no, that's Yu-Gi-Oh cards. The Snorlax was in the binders.
Psyduck, and then you move on,
yeah,
right?
I would say Pokemon, you got to keep in the binders.
All right. Have you ever played a real man's game?
What's a real man's game?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Have you
I've
ever
never
played that one?
Played it.
You've never played
it? But I've always wanted to play it.
Really?
Guess what? Today is your day.
Today's the day?
You, Grant Williams, are a chaotic good high elf.
What am I?
John Wallach, you are a neutral good hill dwarf. And
I am going to be the hill dwarf?
I am your dungeon master.
Oh, you're the dungeon master. Right. Oh, what gave you the power to be the dungeon master?
By all means, if you can.
You want to do it?
I don't think I can be the dungeon master.
Right. Okay.
I don't know enough.
Williams,
you got to make a map. You got a map?
I've got a map. Shut your mouth. I know I'm the dungeon master. I'm shooting orc spells at your face.
What kind of spells are you shooting?
You gelatinous cube.
All right.
So, Grant, here's what's up. All right, you ready? In the city of Neverwinter, a dwarf named Grundin, Roxia, asks you to bring a wagon load of provisions to the rough and tumble settlements of Phandalin. But look! Oh no, it's the man Caius. He attacks. If you roll more than a 7, you shall defeat thy man Caius. What shall you do? What say you, high elf, chaotic good wizard?
Six. What is a 6?
You have been struck down by the goblin ambush, and you shall be sent to the swarthy Eldrin of Dragomascalia.
That's not good.
That's not good.
You failed miserably,
I
and now
failed.
I'm on my
I was
own.
About to say,
that's
is
not
there
right.
not a reroll concept?
Yes.
Sure.
Wow, these
sure.
are good turns.
It's the first time we've ever played.
This dude's pretending.
Oh, it's a 1. That's even worse.
That's a 13.
That's a
3rd right there.
I could have sworn it was something different.
That's
on me.
A 13.
Plus 2 for dexterity points.
Plus 2 for dexterity.
So, Grant, I have a feeling. Oh, I'm sorry. What was your name? You didn't come up with a name for your high elf wizard category.
Georgian.
You're Georgian?
Georgian.
Georgian.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
Georgian, Georgian the High Elf Wizard, you have defeated the man Caius with your roll of the 13, and now to Burger King we shall go to celebrate
with Slender Rage. We shall.
Well, I will, Grant, I just want you to know, now that you've given me, you've authorized me to invite Jaylen Brown to your Catan game, if he says yes, I will come and find you and let you know.
Yeah.
Chances are I won't see you by the end of the day, I'm sure.
Hey, listen, hopefully I will. We'll be walking right back. Next thing you know, he says yes, we're making it happen.
Perfect.
Sam, who do we have at the crib that time? It was Sam, his girlfriend.
Okay.
A couple others. We had
you said Cornette, right?
Corn. We haven't played in the facility. We played in the facility with Corn. I haven't played at home with Corn.
Okay.
So who all came that day? That was a while ago. We need to do another board game night.
Yeah.
Board game, video game, card game night. That's the best way to do it.
Get Marcus. Fair enough. Mark is involved. It'll
yeah.
get intense,
oh yeah.
Man.
I'm down.
It'll get intense.
Marcus, no. So Smart will play. Smart actually said he wants to play.
Said he wants to, and yes. has played and will play. Or two
yes.
completely.
No. He says he wants to because he said that. He said any game, he loves board games, card games. He said he's played this before, right. which I don't believe
if
him.
If you could create a character for Marcus Smart, what would he be? Would he be a paladin? Would he be
he'd
a halfling?
He'd be the dwarf.
He'd be
would
the
he
dwarf.
Be the dwarf?
He'd be the dwarf. He'd be the dwarf.
He'd be the dwarf.
I was
going
to say, he'd be a hill dwarf for sure.
Would he have, is there a nickname he would have? What was his name?
Ooh. Torvald.
Why Torvald
the dwarf.
I want you to know every time we play a highlight of him, I'm going to say, this is Torvald the hill dwarf.
Torvald for three.
Torvald for three. That's a perfect name for him.
Well,
you'll
Grant,
see his hair. You can see the dwarf in the
face. Right. Well, Grant,
it's nice to meet you.
Hope
Grant
you have a great season. We got a game again, my friend.
Let's do it.
All right. Good to see you, Grant.
Good to see you, buddy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare, and why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, got a Catan board. Are we playing right now? Turbo for three. Turbo for three.
Remember when Steven Tyler heard that my name was, when he started finally paying attention, he heard my name was Toucher?
Yeah.
He was Toucher. Ooh. That's just like what Grant Williams when he saw that Catan board.
He just, so at the end of the interview, he was so happy. He was like, wow, Dungeons & Dragons, I just really want to get into that. And I said, well, would you like it? And he goes, you're going to let me keep this? And I said, yeah. And he goes, absolutely. And he walked out. We let him keep the Dungeons & Dragons. And he was walking around Media Day holding a Dungeons & Dragons box.
Now, how big is a Dungeons & Dragons?
Oh, well, I tweeted out the photo of us. I mean, has anyone ever looked happier in their lives to be?
Oh, he is such a dork. Him and John. Him and John could just take the town on.
You go to at Toucher and Rich. I posted the picture of Grant Williams post gaming.
Grant would have been like the guy that hung out, like got to the game late at Wallach's house because he actually played sports. So like the gang would already be down there and be, Grant, come on, we're already through three bags of Funyuns.
He'd last longer than the rest of us. It'd be like 4 in the morning. Come on, let's go. And we'd be like, oh,
hey,
we're tired.
You know, it is an endurance sport. There's no question about it. Oh, so,
yeah, Grant was the best. And we're going to have Jaylen Brown on it at 9 o'clock. And, yes, at one point I do actually bring up that he says that Grant Williams asked Jaylen to one time go gaming with
we
him.
Get a unique insight behind the scenes.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they are very aware of his nerdiness. Okay. So you guys go into it's the B-ball boys. I mean, you don't walk in their way. I mean, it's obvious when there's three's a crowd. You don't want to step on any toes when it comes to the B-ball boys. So I let the gang go. I let the gruesome twosome get go over to media day. I know the Celtics obviously were concerned. They didn't put a lot of restrictions on you guys, but they didn't want you talking about, like, I guess, like graphic stuff. But like. So, what was the, did the pair, except for Grant Williams, because he obviously saw the games.
Sure.
Did the players seem like on guard more than usual?
Yeah. So we interviewed Malcolm Brogdon. We interviewed Jason Tatum, and you'll hear a little bit of it when we play the interview that we did with Jaylen Brown at 9 o'clock. But the theme seemed to be throughout most of the players, not only from when we talked to them, but also what I heard yesterday at the press conferences that were happening next door, was that all of them are saying they were taken by surprise, and none of them knew about it until Jason Tatum straight up told us he didn't find out until he saw it on Twitter on Wednesday night.
I believe that the players didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Because, and I'll explain to you why.
Well, the organization said that they did know about it.
The organization absolutely knew about it. Yeah. And people in the organization knew about it. There's no question. But here's why the players are different. And John can attest to this as being someone who traveled with the team. I mean, the players are playing cards on the plane. Then they get off the plane. They hook up Xbox onto their TVs. And maybe they hit a strip club.
Oh, we got a Catan board. Are we playing right now?
I don't think that they are them. And, you know, it's not the old days where they're all gathered at the hotel bar with the coach.
Sure.
So I could imagine that Udoka could have whatever kind of relationship he had with whoever he had it with without the players being knowledgeable about it. Because
exactly right.
I would imagine they're rather self-involved.
Yes, sure. They have.
Having been stars since the age of two.
Yes.
Yes.
I would imagine that with this AAU culture, there is a self-involvement and a narcissism that doesn't lead them to really caring. For instance, like John could have been doing whatever John does, and they're not going to care because they probably didn't even know your name, some of them. And I don't. That's not an insult to you. They wouldn't know. Jesus, Cedric Maxwell still doesn't know my name. And we have him on the radio all the time.
No, you're right about that.
And so I believe that the players didn't know. And I can imagine going into a media day, having very little information. I guarantee you they know all about it now.
Sure, sure.
But I guarantee you they know all about it now. And again, whatever happens going to come out. And I will speculate on this. It's not out of the realm of possibility that there is an investigation going on beyond the Celtics.
I did also ask Jason Tatum about, like, when was the last – did you reach out to Ime Udoka? They're all seeming to say no.
No.
I asked, are you allowed to speak with Ime Udoka during the suspension? And Jason Tatum said that he didn't believe he was able to. I think that was part of it. So, I mean, it was after Jason Tatum found out, I said, well, who's the first person you call? He said he called Brad Stevens, and then Brad Stevens talked to him a little bit about that and then told them that they were going to have a meeting with the players the next morning. I guess they all got together, and they learned about what happened at that point.
Yeah.
And everyone seemed to have been shocked that it had gotten to that point.
I think you're absolutely right about the players not knowing anything. Everyone tends to go their separate ways. I mean, they talk amongst each other, but I don't think there are rap phone calls all summer long with the head coach, especially about private lives. I think everyone pretty much goes to their neutral corner. And as far as the overall tone, the players we saw, you could see it. There was kind of a wall around them. Grant Williams had no wall because we didn't talk basketball at all. But the other three guys we talked to, you could see it. There was a certain, you could see there were certain things they would talk about and certain things they would not talk about. And they were more on guard about basketball questions than usual. And it was kind of like everyone in the Celtics organization was kind of holding their breath the whole day.
Well,
they wanted to make sure that everyone kind of stayed on point. There was clearly a message given before all the players showed up.
This is
what you talk about. But everyone was kind of looking over their shoulder to make sure that everyone put forth the same message.
And the two weirdest things I think that came out of yesterday was, first of all, Brad Stevens, as far as I know, because he was supposed to speak with us, and they were just like, you know what, Brad's probably not going to be able to make it. And we're like, all right, I kind of figured that. But I don't think he spoke to the press yesterday at all.
I didn't see it.
Which is strange for Media Day. This is usually when everyone, even including the GM, goes out and speaks to everyone. So he was not there. Or he did not speak to them.
I've seen no footage of him at a press conference.
You would think that you would have heard something by this point. The other thing that was very strange was the way that they handled the press conference for the interim head coach,
Joe
Mazzulla.
They're in big trouble. They're in big trouble with this kid.
Well, it's
a kid. Well, he's 13 years younger than me.
But it's not just that he's a kid.
It's that he has no experience.
So, I mean,
if you value coaching at all in the NBA, this is bad. Like, if you value coaching in the NBA, there's no way he can be good.
He's got no NBA head coaching experience, no Division I college head coaching experience, no NBA assistant head coaching experience, and no NBA playing resume on his own. But here's the thing, though, Fred, is that you would have thought that yesterday the Celtics would have somewhat prepared him on how to handle himself, you know, at a day like media day. And it was really weird. And Tara Sullivan wrote a great article capturing the moment, is that he went and sat down when it was his turn to speak to the media. And how usually it is on media day is that everyone goes out there, they make a statement, they introduce themselves, they talk about what they've got planned for the season. It's basically a, you know, 3-minute introduction. And Joe Mazzulla sat down, looked up at the reporters and said nothing, and just waited for people to start asking him questions as if no one gave him any prep for what he's about to step into. And at that point, you know, Tara said it best. She said it was almost as if this was just a mid-season post-practice press conference for him, where there was no heads up on how he should act as a coach.
Right. Those situations, there's a background, and the head coach wanders over to that right. stands and then gets surrounded and people fire questions at him.
I mean, just the learning curve.
Yeah.
I mean, he just has no basis. Like, Brad Stevens coached in the Final Four. Brad Stevens, right. you know, he talked about it on the air. One of the times that he was interesting, he talked about, like, the differences, and, you know, you have that week and you got to keep players focused and this and that. And he talked about the differences between that and the NBA, where you're playing more often. And at least that's big time basketball. I mean, this guy doesn't stand a chance.
Well, think about it this way.
He doesn't stand a chance.
Fred, there's people within the organization that are more qualified to be the coach. Damon Stoudemire, you could take a look at him. I mean, if you look at his resume.
He was a head coach of a Division I program. He was an assistant on the bench last year.
He's the assistant right now.
He played forever.
So he's also a guy that, you know, if you...
Arizona, right?
Stoudemire, yes, I believe that's correct.
Also, like, Portland? Kabing.
He was the head coach of Pacific as well for a while.
So it's a weird...
Him and Bibby?
I don't know if Bibby was on the same team as him.
Or maybe Bibby was the heir apparent to Stoudemire.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember whether or not the two of them...
I'm just showing off.
And no one's more impressed than me.
That's why I do it, John.
I know.
That's why I get up in the morning.
I know.
To serve a few truth bombs.
When you start sports and it is awe-inspiring.
Skaboom. Because I just remembered I wanted the Pistons to take Stoudemire.
Yep.
And they didn't.
Yeah.
Well, all right, there's big trouble. Anyway.
It was a strange day, and I felt bad for a lot of the players because, you know, they come in there, and this is usually their day to talk about how hard they've been working in the offseason. You know, I mean, each one of them had, like, these, you know, stories they wanted to tell about, you know, how every day I thought about that last game and how we didn't win. And I know
What about your coach?
Well, I mean, it's you know, it sucks for them. It sucks for them showing up and having to deal with all of that. But... You know, you would like to hope that this team is in a position and they learned enough last year and they gelled enough last year to where maybe you've got a Luke Walton situation where the coach just can't mess up a team that good. You know what I mean? And that's what happened with Luke Walton.
Then he ended up sucking and getting fired. But the thing is that would be odd, because if that is the case, it truly devalues the whole notion that you need to get a great coach to win.
Someone said, this is great. Did you guys actually listen to Mazzulla's answers to the questions he was asked? Or are you just going to bash him for not giving an opening statement and being an experience? Listen to the guy talk first. First of all, we're not bashing him for not having an opening statement. I'm saying that it was the Celtics on them to at least, if they have not prepared him for a moment that was that simple like this, are they putting him in a position to succeed? Are they giving him everything he needs?
What about anything he said changes the fact that he is wildly unprepared for this?
Yes, and that's the other part of it.
What do you think? They just got him up to speed in the last 2 days?
Here's the one thing that this organization values more than anything, and it's never been more apparent, is that he gets along with Jason Tatum and that Jason Tatum loves this guy. And they think that that is the key. You keep your star happy, and you keep your star with somebody who can speak his language and connect with him.
And by the way, they had like 5 minutes to figure out who was going to coach.
And the other
or
part
did
of
they?
It,
they knew since July.
They knew since July, but they obviously didn't know that it was going to.
They didn't
like
know
this.
They were going to suspend him for that long, or what that was going to happen. And you talked about Jason Tatum being a main reason why this interim head coach is where he is. that's the way it works in the NBA. That's part of the reason why Ime Udoka got his job, is because he had a great working relationship with Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown.
Oh, and he also learned under the best. That gave him an enormous step up. Well, and there was Greg Popovich, that whole little thing.
Well, no, but I mean, there are a lot of guys that interviewed for the job that were qualified, but Udoka got to the front of the class because he got along with its star.
I'm not saying it's going to be a disaster. I'm just saying that I'm wondering if they're going to be giving him the tools he needs to succeed.
It's not going to be a disaster. They're too good for it to be a disaster. It's just not going to, it's not going to go smoothly.
The idea, look, no one knows about this guy's experience as a tactician or anything like that. The idea is, and you mentioned, you know, a guy who just got his license, you know, driving a Ferrari, just don't crash the car. That's all this is. Just don't crash the car.
All right. But again, you can't have it both ways. If you value coaching in the NBA, then this is bad. If you don't, then it doesn't matter. But I mean, do you think Popovich is part of the reason that San Antonio won those championships, or do you think it was he just had all that talent?
I do, but I also think that if Popovich was gone, if he had that team, if he had those guys, you know, with the Duncan and Parker and Ginobili, if he had that team for a couple of years and had to sit out a year and brought in a fill in, I think that team would still be pretty good.
Not a championship team.
Right. Maybe.
Of course.
Maybe.
Celtics are going to be 500.
I'll go back to Luke Walton. I just keep looking at that example, and hopefully they're at that point. Hopefully this team has gelled to the point that the Golden State Warriors
You manage egos. We constantly bring up the Joe Torre thing. Joe Torre was a failed manager many places before he took over the Yankees, had that great, not good, great roster, but he got them all to play for him. And that's what Missoula has to do. Yeah. He has a great roster at his disposal. He just has to make sure everyone's pulling in the same
unfortunately
direction.
Unfortunately for Missoula, Torre was a longtime catcher and at least two-time manager by the time he took that Yankees job. So Braves, Cardinals, and who else? Before he took the Yankees.
There was another.
All right. So what? My point is, he had plenty of experience.
Yeah. And also, it was like really weird of the mixed messages that were out there as well. I mean, everything with the 1 year suspension as opposed to being fired is strange. Like how they figured all that out, and it was strange when you had a team who basically on one side of their mouth was saying, we really are taking this whole harassment situation seriously. We love and we respect the women who work for our company. And then they immediately hire a guy who has a domestic assault charge on his record.
Now, again, he went to rehab. He had a drinking problem. That's part of the story, too. He went to rehab. He was a kid, had a drinking problem. He's clean and sober for 12 years. That's part of this.
And once again, second chances, I've got no problem with that.
My friend.
Totally, yes. But it didn't make any, it made yesterday that just that much more weird, where those questions had to be brought up. Yesterday was just strange all around.
As I said, it was as if the entire organization was kind of holding its breath until the end of the day.
Well, it's almost like, too, that there's still an investigation ongoing.
Well, that's true. I think we all know that.
Because I have no idea what's going on. I won't speculate what's going on, but I can speculate that there might be an investigation that's broader than the Celtics going on. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would make a lot of sense, because then you're legally not allowed to give out particulars. You're not allowed to, you're probably not allowed to fire the guy. Like, who knows? Who knows what's going to come out? All I know is that the Ringer has the Jets ranked as the 31st best team in the NFL.
Oh.
Who's worse? Not the Raiders.
Texans.
Oh, okay. Because the Raiders are the only
New England's
team.
23.
That sounds fair.
Yeah. Let's see if they're better than the teams.
And by the way, Stoudemire missed Bibby by about 3 years.
You like them more than the Giants? The Giants are 25.
Giants are 25. They're 2-1. They lost their first game last night.
They look actually really good. I mean, again, Dallas isn't a world-beating team.
They're 1-1.
No, the Giants are 2-1. Giants are 2-1.
Last night was their first loss.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Everyone's played three games.
Yep.
Chicago's 2-1. Fields has thrown for 50 yards this season.
Dude, the Broncos are the best team in the AFC West. They're number one in the AFC West.
Not for much longer. But yes,
and Russell Wilson.
Technically, you're right now.
Russell Wilson hasn't been good at all.
Woo! 11-10, they won that game two nights ago.
Yeah, they might not make the playoffs. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
An invitation to this show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
We go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we are Toucher and Rich. I don't know what you guys have planned for this afternoon, but Daddy's going to the hospital right after the show.
Sucks, man. I am so sorry, dude.
This is terrible. I'm sorry. And that it's just a pain in my foot, so it could be worse, but it's not like, you know, it's a pain in my foot. But I'll tell you, I don't care how busy it is. You're spending some time with me today. Mm-hmm. We're getting to the bottom of this thing.
Fred, I saw you walking back from the bathroom. I don't mean to laugh, but it doesn't look like Nick is laughing. It's not getting any better. And you said the pain is almost back to where it was originally.
Oh, yes. That's all happened within 2 hours?
Really 12. Yesterday morning it didn't hurt.
But you're not dancing around like you're, you know, Fred Astaire.
I mean, it was still...
Today is a pronounced...
Well, no, it kills today. Nick is like... Someone emailed me. He's like, it's Goodfellas when he walks into the hospital.
He comes to the back entrance.
Yeah, he just comes
to the back. Table ready for him?
Yeah, he's sitting there over there laughing his ass off. Nick is like, all the times you made fun of me for going poopy and laying in my own poo with his staph infection.
Here comes Nick.
That's how Nick told me to get, he said, how's your heart, kid? And I'm like, it feels fine. And he's like, yeah, well, tell me you have a heart thing. They let you right in. Like, they let Daddy right in. Honey, don't worry. I'll do the catheter today.
Then there was Johnny Two Time. Time to go get the gurney.
Yeah. Yeah. Just see it pop on the Cartoon Network. Put the speaker right in my chest. Ah, that's right. Hey, Carol, huh? Don't worry. The NMO will come.
Well, that sucks, man. Did you line something up, or you?
I don't know. If I go to my general practitioner, it's killing time and wasted money. Because I'm just going to go there, and they're going to go, like, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
I need a doctor to, like, spend a lot of time with me. I need a doctor to... Now, how do you do that? That's an interesting... First of all... Nick should have stayed. I'm convinced after I passed out last Monday that Nick should have stayed with me at the hospital. That was very rude of him not to. Especially someone who's paid him to put together things at his house.
The loyalty you get from that.
There's no loyalty. I gave him $80.
You got to pay him more money. You would have stuck around.
The 2.5 hours of work, $80. I mean, you can't sneeze at that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, is there what do rich people do? Like, real rich people. Like, they have to have
the doctors come to them.
Okay,
like, you're real rich.
Yeah, like a Michael Jacks situation.
Yeah, the doctors come to them
because I need a guy to spend more than 2 minutes looking at me. I really need a guy. I need a guy to sit there and like. And they draw blood and they do all this, and I understand it.
I know this sounds so basic and so obvious. But you have to be your best advocate. You have to insist that you don't want to. This has happened before. Last time I came in, they gave me medication. They had me leave, and I came right back. You need to say, that's not working. I don't want to leave here until this is fixed. And I need a solution that is different from the one that I just got.
You saw me walk in here.
Yep.
I can't walk. You know, I'm just as bad as I was the last time I left here.
What you did before... is not the solution. We know that now. You need to do something different and say, and if that means me staying here and you putting me upstairs for a week to get this done, I'm willing to do that, but you have to fix this.
You know what they're going to do is they're going to sass me.
Well, you got to deal with the sass. I mean, this is
They're going to give me a little sass. They're going to say, why are you back here? And I'm going to go, like, it's not better.
Because with the stuff you gave me doesn't work?
Well, you know what the thing is it did work. It did work, but I just don't think there's enough of it. They've done the blood cell count because now I'm convinced I have AIDS or something. And then that's what this thing is popping up, right? Oh, Johnny, when the foot hurts for a month, you start questioning things.
Okay.
Like, why my body can't heal itself? Like, why my body is sitting here not healing itself?
You're not a diabetic, right? We've ruled that out.
I don't think I'm a diabetic.
And I thought they had done tests ruling that out.
They would have, yes. My blood sugar is, while a little elevated, is certainly not.
You're fine in that regard.
You just have to insist on getting better. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but there's too many people who go in and just like, nod their heads yes because they just want to get out of there.
Right.
And you assume that everyone is thinking through your problem or knows everything about your problem before because it's in a folder somewhere. You have to let them know, here is exactly what happened and it didn't work. And we've done this several times now and I don't want to leave until we've got a brand new plan that's different from the one I just used.
Nick, when you're having your strokes and you're passing out in a bed for 2 weeks with heart... do they treat you nice, right? They let you right in. See, that's the thing, is that Nick has got like it's almost like they've implanted a VIP pass in him. That thing in his heart is like
someone said the secret password is the tick in his heart.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what's the password?
They have a scanner that you walk under and it pops up.
And they probably remember him because they're like, you know, oh, I had to clean poo off you.
Like I had to, it's tough to forget that.
I had to clean it out of your hair.
That's true. Of all the traumas that they've seen in the ER, that's one you don't forget.
Yeah, they wheel in some kid covered in poops.
Yeah.
And they couldn't even take him at the first hospital. They had to take him to a real hospital. So if you're planning on going to the hospital because you have the sniffles today, stay home. Let me take care of this thing. Stop with that. Unless you're the guy who had, I wonder if the guy who had poison ivy on his balls is going to be back there.
Line one, Fred, would you like to take this call?
Yeah. Josh, hello.
Hey, Fred, I know it's a little far. My wife was at an urgent care in Auburn. She will absolutely get you in.
Auburn, Alabama?
Massachusetts.
All right, where is Auburn, Massachusetts?
Very far west.
Yeah, right next to Worcester.
Oh, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'd rather lose my leg. Ay. There's not enough cool stuff on the phone.
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, there's
to kill the time.
It's only about an hour drive.
In my car, I have a certain board game that you could use.
Oh, got a Catan board. Are we playing right now?
You could play it with the nurses. You know?
Maybe that could get me in. They could stop sassing me and I'd be ingratiated into their club.
You could.
So I guess I should just go to the hospital. It bypassed the doctor, correct?
I mean, listen, call your doctor first and see if they get back to you. Call them during the commercial break and maybe by the time you leave here, someone will have gotten back to you. And if not, yeah, if it's starting to kill, because you went from, hey, things are feeling okay this morning to, wow, this is really painful.
Yes.
And if it escalates that quick within, you know, almost 3 hours, just think about what it's going to be 3 hours from now if you don't go in.
I have a tweet here from a listener that works or just finished working at Newton Wellesley, would be happy to help you out.
Okay. I love that, but you know how many hoops you got to jump through you can't just.
Would be happy, you know, happy to at least get you an introduction, maybe get you in a little quicker.
Yeah. I don't care this guy's in a car accident. I'm on the radio. Thank you. Well, that's where I'm going to go is Newton Wells.
One of our listeners.
And I don't want to be sassed.
Mm-hmm. Will you get in quicker if you call an ambulance?
I'm not paying for an ambulance, dude. You know what those
guys. I know. Ubers are the new ambulance.
That ambulance is no joke.
They cost a lot.
I've only been in an ambulance once.
Same here. Dan just said, then I got the bill afterwards, and I'm like, oh, man.
Dan just said Nick is the new ambulance.
I know. I was just going to say, I was in a car accident, so the ambulance came to get me, and I was like, oh, thank God you're here, and they took me to the hospital, and everything was fine, thank goodness. And then I got home, and about a week later, I got a big old bill.
Yeah, because when I got my ass really kicked that one time when I was, like, jumped and stomped, I got up, and the bouncer at the place was like, dude, you got to go to the hospital. And my friend was wildly drunk, and he's like, I'm taking you. Oh, and the bouncer was like, no, you got to take an ambulance. And this is before everyone had cell phones, so he called an ambulance. And then I took it. And it was like $3,500 or something? This was back in 97.
Ambulances are really expensive.
Very expensive. One trip, and I'm like, oh,
The problem is that even then, I've been in ambulances. Even when you're in an ambulance, it doesn't mean anything. They just roll you in, and then it's still the same crap. It's just you're not in the waiting room.
And people are saying the ambulance, it doesn't get you seen quicker. So
yeah, it's just a ride. Plus, my mommy and daddy are here, and they're 80, so they can keep me company by talking, telling stories that take very, very, very long to tell. Like, I know a guy who, I met a guy who knows Belichick. How? All right, well, good story. You had my attention, and then just no follow-up.
All right, make that call during the commercial break.
Rags to riches. Please see me at the hospital. I want to be able to move around. All right, we'll be back. The boys, the B-ball boys, talked to Jaylen Brown yesterday at Media Day. An odd Media Day, to say the least. And we will talk to them again tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.